Yes, time to shine on this Tuesday morning. Welcome along to Breakfast with Vossi right here on 1170 SEN. We're broadcast through the SEN track stations on the Central Coast, the Illawarra, 90.3 FM in Griffith. And I'd love to hear from you wherever you're listening around the country this morning via the SEN app. You can call us on the McDonald Jones open line 1300 01 1170. And of course, you can text at any time. Get your message across short and sharp. The text number 0457 736 736. We are here proudly for Bryden's Lawyers, the workers' compensation experts protecting your future. You can call Bryden's Lawyers on 1800 848 848 or visit brydens.com.au. And we're here for 4D Doors, Garage Doors Redefined, their website, 4ddoors.com.au. I was hoping overnight I'd try and make it an Omicron-free zone, but can't happen. It'll rear its head throughout the morning. Wouldn't mind hearing your thoughts, though, if we are going to talk about it, because it's been quite incredible, the reaction around the world. Yesterday we ran the story about that team in Portugal that had to abandon their match because they were ended up with only six players. They had hit by COVID pre-game and then had a couple of injuries, and by halftime they were reduced to six men. It turns out, I think it's as many as 12, 14 players and members of the squad have tested positive, every single one of them, to the Omicron variant, and they are the only cases in all of Portugal, all within this one football team. It's because one of their players recently was released to go and play for South Africa and has returned from South Africa and now has come back with the Omicron variant infecting the entire team. And they are the only cases in all of that country. There you go. There's just a little sporting tie to Omicron. As I say, impossible to avoid today. Now, you heard Joe Biden there. Alana had Joe Biden in the news saying, look, it's cause for concern, but not reason for panic. I think that's pretty sage advice at this point. But now let's get to what's making news in rugby league today. And it remains Brandon Smith. There's a little bit more to what we were talking about yesterday. We're now told he faces a breach notice, a reprimand and a heavy fine. This is according to Dean Ritchie after that interview and the podcast. So they've gone back over the whole thing. Now, I have to admit, no, I did not listen to all 55 minutes of the podcast. And I'll be honest, and it's with respect, never heard of it, wouldn't know who they are. Was it? Sorry, I hope I get the letters right. YKTR, is that it? So I don't know. I don't know them. But great stuff, great program. Got the interview, well done. But Brandon has to be responsible for how he carries himself in interviews. And if he feels that, you know, this is required, he used the F word 61 times and the C word 3 times during the episode, then he has to own it. And if the league step in and the Roosters, his potential new employer, step in, and his current employer, Melbourne, step in, well, so be it. You are Look, just because it's the off-season doesn't mean you are not representing your club and the game. I mean, that just goes with the territory of being a professional rugby league player. So Smith, about to enter the final year of his contract at Melbourne, I think you could sum up his off-season as rather colourful. Now, among the things that have got... He's got everyone angry, Brandon Smith. He's got the Roosters angry, but they aren't saying anything publicly. But they didn't want their dealings, the way they deal with players, aired publicly. I mean, that's for a book post career. That's Brandon Smith's account, what he gave in the interview, is something you put in your autobiography at the end of your career. So, I remember back when I switched from Melbourne to the Roosters and they toured me around and I went in the back door of the Leagues Club and all that, went to the coaches' places, what we drank. No, that's for post career. That's not for now. I'm sure Trent Robinson didn't want that. And Melbourne, meantime, are upset with what was said. He also spoke openly about the Storm players cultivating a drinking culture to bond. So the Storm are probably saying, what the hell are you doing, Brandon? Why did you feel the need to say so much here? Now, Andrew Abdo says, I've asked the integrity unit to review the podcast and provide me with a report. Meanwhile, Adrian Pajenko on the Herald is reporting that the Melbourne Storm are considering immediately cutting the star hooker loose. So I wonder whether that would be the case. Look, it's fait accompli that he's going to the Roosters, isn't it? He did say, He did say in the interview, I've still got to go see Melbourne. It's what you mean, like you've made up your mind without actually running it by Melbourne. It's all very strange. And I said yesterday, my verdict, I have loved watching Brandon Smith as a player. I think he is a great player. And I use the word there appropriately. I think he's a great player. I think he's up with the best in the NRL. He's a fantastic player. He's a fantastic personality and he's good fun. But his stocks in integrity and the way he carries himself have gone down big time this off-season. So damaged goods, but not to the point where he's run out of the game. He's going to be well looked after and he's got a long career in the NRL. But you'd want to have a good hard look at him to just decide how he wants to be seen and how he carries himself in the game. Now, I mentioned yesterday the domino effect of Brandon Smith if he goes to the Roosters. Because Sam Verrills is signed until the end of 2024. I said that no other club would be allowed to talk to him, but that doesn't stop you getting the wheels in motion. You float it out there. Sure enough, there's a little link with Parramatta. And that makes sense. Reed Marnie, he's leaving Parramatta to go to the Bulldogs at the end of next year. Well, can we do a little business? Roosters, a little phone call, and before you know it, bang. That's how it works. That is rugby league. That is rugby league. That's what the category is we talk about. And away from the Brandon Smith injury, terrific news yesterday for the Roosters, just confirming that Joey Manu will be staying for the club. Interesting, not one of the long-term deals, though. For a superstar player in our game, it is rare to only do the two-year deal until the end of 2024 for Joey Manu. Now, in cricket, two of Pat Cummins' closest confidants, Sydney Sixers duo Moses Henriques and Jordan Silk, believe Australian vice-captain Steve Smith and potentially other senior players should play a key role in deciding who bowls at what times during the Ashes because of the new captain's willingness to accept feedback. Henriques, who will lead the Sixers in the first big bash match on Sunday, that is against the Melbourne Stars at the SCG, he observed Cummins as New South Wales skipper earlier this year in a handful of one-day matches that Smith also played. He's shown me he listens to people's feedback when he's been captain. There were times when someone may have walked up to him during a one-day game and said, we think you need to bowl right now. And he'd go, okay, and just bowl. And they'll work it out. Pat Cummins is a smart young man. He will work this out, how this is going to work best. Again, I throw at you the quote that he gave us, and it is so pertinent. I am not, if I was captain straight away, I'm not the finished article, but I've got confidence in my ability. I say we all get behind him. And it'll be a little different. We haven't had a fast bowler captain or a bowling captain for quite some time. So it'll work out how it works out. And Cummins will be the captain. And he will be, well, it'd be silly not to draw on the experience of others. Alex Carey's practice match and Joss Inglis's lack of it could end up being the decisive factor in the crunch call over Australia's new wicketkeeper. Selectors may still be a few days away from announcing who will replace Tim Payne's spot behind the stumps. There's a feeling inside the selection room that Inglis 26 is the better gloveman and possibly the longer-term keeper, because you've got to remember, Alex Carey is 30, and we're looking towards next year's tours of Pakistan and Sri Lanka. You'll have Nathan Lyon on those dusty spinning decks, possibly Swepson in the mix and some others. Here's a little bit of what Josh Inglis had to say yesterday.
I sort of lost it last year, and then I went back to the UK for the summer, and I think I picked up the twang again. Growing up in England, I supported England, but obviously that's all changed now. Moving to Australia, Ashes series are huge, and it's probably the pinnacle of the sport.
Yeah, Yorkshire born. Might take you a little while to get used to, Josh Inglis. But yeah, he's 26. Carey is 30. That grab from 7 News last night. Meanwhile, Shane Warne has continued his criticism of the selection of Steve Smith as vice-captain, declaring it should have been Dave Warner instead, who should have got the job. Shane Warne? Really? Yeah, I don't know. Bowler Jai Richardson's imposing record at the Gabba has selectors seriously considering breaking up its fast-bowling big three for the first Ashes test. There is a strong push for Richardson after he carved up Queensland in a recent Shield match in Brisbane, but any decision to dump Mitchell Starc is far from clear-cut and comes with a high degree of risk. Starc's economy rate at the Gabba is a little bit of a problem, but he does average 4.25 wickets a test at the venue, and there is an argument to play him in the first test just so he's cherry ripe for the second test under lights in Adelaide, where Australia know they need him as one of the first bowlers picked. So I've got a feeling that Richardson will have to bide his time, but if you studied the scheduling, the tests are very close together. It is quite possible that there is the chance of injury, wear and tear, and that Richardson needs to be at the ready. I don't know whether with these tests so close together that we're going to get through the whole summer with the same fast bowling lineup. Even if we're winning, I don't know whether they could keep them all together. By the way, if you're talking about a famous day in cricket, on this day, 1928, Donald Bradman. So Donald Bradman made his test debut. How many did he score? 18 and 1. I'll talk more about that later in the morning. Some amazing numbers about of this out of his first test, a very famous day in cricket in this country. An Australian cricketing icon, Alan Davidson, has been labelled the perfect sports person by former Prime Minister John Howard at a public memorial service at the SCG yesterday. About 200 people from all walks of life gathered in the SCG members for a service for the great Aussie cricketer. Football tonight, we do have the Matildas playing the USA in Newcastle. We'll have Andy Harper from Channel 10 join the program after 7 o'clock this morning. Let's hope that they can do a little better than Saturday's result, a 3-0 victory that was to the Americans. I'll also be talking to Andy Harper about the comments of former Socceroo Mark Bosnich. He has predicted Australia will miss qualification for next year's World Cup if they are forced down the intercontinental playoff route, urging coach Graham Arnold to spend the next 2 months refreshing his tactics. Here's some of what Boz has said on Stan Sport.
Playing great, for me, means you've won 3-0 and it's like a Barcelona-esque from 10 years ago performance. Not struggled 0-0 and lost to Japan. Come on. Like, look, we all make mistakes, you know, and we've all got to look at ourselves. And but this is where you need someone around you to say, listen, Gaffer, Boss, Graham, don't be saying things like this. Because, you know, not only do the footballing public will see through it, but you're setting all of us up. You're putting a target on us. If you, you know, you said it after the Saudi Arabian game, but how do you say you're playing great? And we've got the stats to back it up. What stats? You've lost and you've drawn and saying we're playing great. You're not.
I know.
But I'm telling you, if he's watching, you are not playing great.
I love the passion of Bozza. I love it. I could listen to him all day. So we'll get Andy Harper's reaction to what Boz has had to say there. He says the tweak has to happen. Mark Bosnich, yeah, not playing great. It's like Brad Arthur saying we've never been in a better place, as he said over the weekend, despite losing players. Boxing, George Kombosis Jr. wants to fill a stadium in his next fight on Australian soil. I want to come back home and fill out a stadium, he said. 80,000 people in Sydney or Melbourne. That's the next step now. What a bolt of lightning he has been on the Australian sporting landscape. Now, I ask you honestly, 1300 01 1170, text 0457 736 736, how many of you this time last week actually knew of the talents of George Kombosis Jr.? Hands up, show of hands. 1300 01 1170, text 0457 736 736. Here's a bloke saying he can fill a stadium with 80,000 this time last week. How many could he have got? George Kombosis Jr., you tell me honestly. What, as I say, a bolt of lightning on Australian sport, and what a great one he's been. Now, briefly away from sport, Australia's reopening plans have been dealt a blow with the easing of international borders for international students, migrant workers, and a travel bubble with Japan and South Korea now pushed back 2 weeks. Canberra's National Security Committee last night agreed to delay the next phase of Australia's international border easing from December 1. They'll push it back to December 15 with an abundance of caution as health authorities wait for more information on the Omicron COVID-19 variant. Health experts say it is too soon to know if Omicron is more severe or mild than Delta. But you do feel for these international students that were all teed up, ready to go. Like, their suitcases are packed. I don't know what they do. They're just hanging around. They've got to wait at least another 2 weeks. Meanwhile, the producer of the hit show Hamilton has called on Australians to stand strong in the face of Omicron. This is who you want to listen to for your, you know. And by the way, it's Winston Churchill's birthday today. So on his birthday, I suppose we're going to quote Michael Cassell, the show's Australian producer, Let's all get behind him. I stand with Michael. We have got to find a way to live with it. Even though we are only closed for 16 weeks and a half weeks, it took a huge toll as we lost our ability to showcase our talents and earn an income. I really hate to think the closing down would happen again. There we go. So stirring stuff. Australia is on track to have a Prime Minister finish a full term without being dumped by their own party for the first time in 14 years. Is a stat. As the Morrison government paves the way for a May election. We're looking at May next year for the federal election. The Parliament sitting calendar for 2022 released yesterday revealed the federal government plans to bring forward the budget to March 29, which opens up the following 6 weeks for a campaign in the lead up to a May election date. Now, this is a great story to finish this morning, just to get us on our way. As a kid, and I think there's been Night at Museum. There's been a movie, you know, you get locked in the museum for the night. You always thought, how good would it be to get locked in a toy shop one night? You know, like they just don't find you down one of the aisles. They shut the doors and off you go. Well, now that you're a bit older, your aspirations change. How good would it be to be trapped in a pub for a few days? Well, that's happened in England. Dozens of people are trapped in a pub in England, true story, for the third night after heavy snowfall. Snow from Storm Arwen has stranded more than 60 people in the Tan Hill Inn, which, by the way, is Britain's highest pub at 508 metres. Snowdrifts of almost 1 metre have closed local roads with power cables down and cars buried. Many of the revellers headed to the pub on Friday. There was a tribute band there to Oasis. They're called Noasis, actually. That's important to the story, but they're still playing. They're into their 25th set now. Manager Nicola Townsend told the BBC they'd become like a family during the ordeal. This is the makings of a movie, trapped in a pub in the UK. It's just been a lovely experience and everyone is in really good spirits, spirits being the operative word there. They've formed quite a friendship. Like a big family is the best way I can describe it. One lady actually said, I don't want to leave. She told Sky News people had been sleeping downstairs in the pub with a photo showing people lying on the pub's floor. Nobody else is going anywhere now. We're just going to make sure everybody is safe. We've kept the fires roaring. Everyone is nice and warm. The stranded punters have been kept entertained with the quiz and movies. And that Noasis band been performing. As I say, they're up to their 75th set now. A karaoke night was the latest way punters kept themselves busy. And plenty of food cooked by staff. Is this your dream? Is this your dream? To be locked in a pub day after day after day? I mean, you know, at what point do you contemplate eating the person next to you? Like, it's the makings of a movie. You're in a pub, you've got an Oasis cover band, and you don't know when you're going to get out. And this lady says she doesn't want to leave. That is amazing. 40 of them were booked in. The others went in for a drink on Friday. So they're wearing the same gear. Now, that is one thing. Would be getting a little whiffy, I would think. Those that have not bought a change of clothes, did not bring a change of clothes. What a story. Is being trapped in a pub for 3 days your dream? Make it your goal. Put it on your bucket list. 22 after 6, have your say. The McDonald Jones open line, 1300 01 1170. Text 0457 736.